This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
My guest today is Joe Motyl, longtime political activist, candidate for city council, and someone with a deep knowledge of city politics. Welcome to the other side of the news, Joe.
Thanks again, Bob, for having me. Appreciate it.
And again, we like to have you on periodically. You've been writing a lot about controversial issues. And I feel this is perhaps the most unexplored issue. That is, what is this pandemic doing to the city budget in terms of revenue?
It's hitting it pretty hard. You know, if you talk to Megan Kilgore, who's the city auditor, she's a pretty upfront person, and I think she's a very honest person, and I respect her a lot. And about 50% of the revenue coming into the city of Columbus right now is from the larger corporations, businesses, Ohio State University, things of that nature. But it's that other 50% that's really hurting us, the small businesses, tourism, hotels, things of that nature. And that's having a huge impact on our city income tax revenue. When you think about, and that also impacts, especially the tourism business, the bed tax. And some of that bed tax revenue not only provides revenue for the convention center, of course, who gets probably the biggest chunk of it, but also affordable housing and also some other human and social services as well. So they're going to be hurting from that too. So right now, what city council is doing is they're using a lot of the funding that they've received from the CARES Act to cover a lot of that stuff. So they're out there throwing like, here's $11 million towards this. Well, you know, that's $11 million that we don't have. And thank God the federal government's given it to us in order to make amends for, you know, the money that's needed in various things. But in the, you know, that money's going to run dry eventually. So this is going to be long-term damage to a lot of social service agencies, nonprofits, and things of that nature. And I also suspect that could be the possibility why Adam H. is not only asking for a renewal this November, but they are asking for an additional millage on top of their renewal, which will add about 20, I think it's $24 a year per $100,000 of value to your home. So this is the first time in quite a while that they've asked. So it's hurting a lot. I mean, but what they're trying to do, like I said, is they're using that CARES Act money to compensate for the lost income. And with Ohio State football not playing, think about the amount of money people are going to lose, small businesses throughout, you know, the Short North campus area, Clintonville, all around. It's going to impact, I mean, even the suburbs. It's good, everybody who goes to sports lounges and stuff like that to watch the football games and what have you. And you look at the trickle down impact on that. It's going to be enormous.
And what about property taxes? How does that fit into it?
Well, the property tax, the city of Columbus gets about 6% of their budget from property tax money, which is why they don't have a problem giving out tax abatements, because they're sacrificing education for our public education for our children for income tax revenue that they think these jobs are going to be created from these big corporations and stuff like that. So they're basically sacrificing kids' education and hurt, you know, just damaging and increasing poverty in these low-income areas, especially when we have 61% of the Columbus Public School students who are either Black or multiracial. So that impacts a lot of the minority population in the city of Columbus. The property taxes, not only we just got, you know, I of course, as most people know, I voted against the Columbus State Community College property tax increase. So that was another like $22 a year. So you're looking at Adam H. You're looking at your triennial increase from the Franklin County auditor this year for your property taxes. We're all paying more and more property taxes, but they're still giving out tax abatements ever since COVID-19 started back in February. They've given out, I think, about $50 to $55 million in tax abatements ever just since the COVID. And that was one that went to Andelin Biosciences, which is an arm of Children's Hospital. They located out there at the technology district, if you will, on West Campus by Ohio State University. And then there was about three warehouse tax abatements out at Rickenbacker. Again, you know, and I could tell you a million things about Rickenbacker and why they don't need a tax abatement out there. But again, here we go. You know, the corporations that can afford to pay their taxes, we are being faced with the burden of that increased property tax revenue to take up the slack for them. And hell, out at Rickenbacker, they gave a tax abatement to this one company that built a I forget how many square feet warehouse, but it was like $4, $15 an hour jobs. And the other one was $20, $15 an hour jobs. And I think between those two, I think it was close to $20 million in tax abatements that they were given to those three different warehouse projects at Rickenbacker, which is probably the premier distribution center in the United States right now, based on its location and everything else that it has going for it. Has a 4% vacancy rate, Bob. And I mean, it's like, and even Columbus Business First said that they made two comments here recently about Rickenbacker. And they, and I want to make sure I read this quote. They said it, one CEO of a company that received one said that it's perfectly located and there's been tremendous growth as a distribution center. The commitment is there. It's in the perfect place. So, and they, Business First even said Central Ohio's warehouse market was so hot last year that the only impediment developers saw as of January was a shortage of available land. So that's like, what the hell more do you need? You know, it's like, why are we giving away, you know, all this money for in property tax revenue when it's not needed out there? I mean, there's so many things, you know, going for it that it's ludicrous. And I basically told them at the last city council meeting, you know, I said, basically said, what the hell is the matter with you people? What don't you understand? Why are you continuing to do this? And you can tell them every bit of information that's out there. And at the last one, I said, there's no bus service out there for people to take the bus to these jobs. And that was their big concern, not having bus service out there. And I said, yeah, well, that's a concern, of course, but really, is that your main concern? So it's just, I don't know. They're just puppets up there sitting, you know, in those seven seats, doing as they're told, and just don't have the guts or political courage to say no to this stuff. It's shameful.
This is The Other Side of the News, streaming to you from the Indy Media Studios of the Free Press Network on YouTube, but also available online at WGRN.org. Plus, listen to us on Columbus, Ohio's two volunteer-run low-power FM radio stations, Friday at 5:30 p.m. on 94.1 FM, The Green Renaissance, and rebroadcasted Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WCRS, the community radio station, both 92.7 and 98.3. FM.
Well, I've been walking around Old Town East with my wife, Suzanne, during the pandemic here, and there's tremendous amounts of new build, but none of them are paying taxes for 15 years. And the other thing I'm seeing is evictions. I'm seeing what looks like, and this scares me because I'm in the 80s, almost an inability to pick up box springs and couches that have been tossed. So now you have all these new builds, $400,000, $500,000, units for people that won't pay any taxes for 15 years. And at the same time, the city apparently can't do bulk pickup.
Yeah, they're having a real problem with their pickup and trying to keep these neighborhoods clean, and a lot of people complaining about. So what do? They raise the fine. I don't think that's the answer. It's really, I mean, it might help a little bit, but there needs to be a better job than just the trash pickup. This has been going on for a long time, trash pickup in this city. It's always been pathetic.
Well, with these increased evictions, who are you going to find, the sheriff?
Yeah. And it's just going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. And I know there's a lot of people that are active in that, but you know, what are we going to do with these people? And then that's just going to increase homelessness. So we're going to need even more social services to address the problem. Our homeless are going to be, it's going to be even greater in Columbus. So what are you going to do? Just keep throwing money at it and keep giving tax breaks out to people? It's like, you know, we need this income. We need people to be able to have more income in their pockets to survive with.
Well, the wealthiest people who are buying these new builds, which are everywhere in Old Town, I mean, are exactly the ones that should be paying the taxes. They're the wealthiest people.
Right. Exactly. And it's funny because I know the one that's close to where you live, it hasn't started construction yet. I don't think they've got approval yet. But some of these developers' attorneys, I've been to two meetings where they're using the Insight 2050 that Morpsey put out, saying, you know, the population of the Central Ohio or Columbus is going to increase by 1 million people by 2050. So we need high density and this, that, and the other. So they're using that as an excuse to even build this stuff. And I got friends of mine who are all about density and high density in these areas. And I'm just like, you know, no, bullshit. What's high density? 4 to 5 stories, maybe 4 stories, but it has to be within the character of the neighborhood and fit within the character of the neighborhood. You can't put a 7-story, 6-story building down there in Old Town East or on the outskirts of German Village or somewhere like that, like where Pizzuti's property is at Giant Eagle, where he bought that grocery store. He wants to put up a building that's 62 foot tall. So that's 6 stories. That's totally out of character for that neighborhood. And they use this argument that City Hall says this is what we need. We need high density. People need to live here. There's all kinds of places around the city of Columbus where they could be developing. Hell, just in Clintonville, north of Morse Road, there's a ton of open land up there, right off the High Street, out in the northeast area where Bill Dotson lives. And he's been trying to get the city for years to develop out there. There's plenty of open land. But people say, well, this is where people want to live. Well, you know, just because this is where people want to live, so we're supposed to give tax abatements and tax breaks so that you can build so people can live here? No, I'm sorry. That's not the way it should work.
Now, you've called for postponing some projects like the renovation of the former Crew Stadium there. What else needs to be held up until the budget gets straightened up?
Well, it sounds like that's not going to get held up, but that's one project.
But you're for holding it up, are you now?
Oh, absolutely. I think they should just can the whole thing anyways. I think a lot of people think they should do away with it. There's no reason why the Crew can't continue practicing out at OBETS. No reason. They got a fine facility out there. There's no reason why they can't do it. That is just, that's a joke out there, and the thing about it is it's owned by the state of Ohio. It's not owned by the city of Columbus. So they act like they act like it's their land and they got the right to do what they want to do out there. And that's, again, the power of the Columbus Partnership is what got that whole thing going. But that whole project is just, it's a waste of money. That's the biggest waste of money I've ever seen.
And what about the question of the arena? Where's the revenue coming for that? Is that from the authority, from the county?
City, county, and state money. I think the total of the city for the entire that they're kicking in $113 million, I think, was the total for the Crew project.
And yeah, originally it was zero, then it was $50 million, so now it's $113 million.
Right, it went from 50, I think, up to 113 when they found out they were going to put underground utilities in from the Crew Stadium clear over to where Chipotle's building their headquarters about a half a mile away, and some other things that are happening now too. So yeah, I mean, the parking garage was a big one. That was about a $20-25 million city money that they said, well, this is part of the stadium. No, that's not part. That's not part of the state. That's something that the Edwards ought to be paying for. Yeah, Edwards and Haslam. That's something that they should be paying for, not the city of Columbus.
And how much revenue are those garages in the arena districts bringing in, or likely to bring in the near future?
Question. I don't think anybody knows exactly, but it sure as hell ain't going to pay that thing off for a long time. And what was that? What was the other thing they're trying to sell people now? I forget what. Oh, the number of affordable housing units that were going to be built started out at somewhere like around 840 and went down to like a half of that, like 400 and something. But when Ginther first came out with his press conference saying, yeah, we're going to build 880 affordable housing units for those people that are making roughly between like $45,000 and $63,000 a year, they were going to put in 10% of 80% AMI, 100% AMI, and now it's down to a lot, half of what it was originally. So it's just been one lie after.
So you're really not building the needed affordable housing. I don't know what the gap is there. And at the same time, people are being evicted because of the pandemic, with numbers as high, a third of the population since it began is filed for unemployment. It just seems like there's going to be a massive explosion. I'm expecting tent cities. Now, one of the things, not only are we having what seems like a building boom, but perhaps not the right kind of building, but you've written that the building trades, which, you know, you're a proud member of, that was essentially your career, has problems with racism, ethnocentrism, and homophobia, and you actually produced pictures of racism, sexism, and homophobic graffiti.
Yeah. It's, like I said, I'm retired from Labor's Local 423, spent about 26 years out in the field as a laborer, and then my last 14 years of my career as a safety professional. And my 14 years as a safety person, I primarily worked on real large projects, $100 million plus. And just throughout my career, I mean, this kind of stuff's been going on forever. And I explained it to people, and anybody who's spent any amount of time out in the construction industry, out in the field, they know this, especially in the porta-johns. And what had happened was, just for those listening, Columbus Business First wrote an article last Monday about how somebody filed a complaint at the Facebook project out in New Albany. And that's the largest construction project that's currently going on in Central Ohio, and I'm going to guess they have at least 300 workers out there right now. But apparently there was racial graffiti written on 6 porta-johns, which isn't uncommon at all, and they called the police. So the police came out to the job site. So there was a complaint made. And so Turner is the construction manager of the project. So they brought it to Turner's attention, and Turner said they shut the job down until every worker on the site had to go through implicit bias training. And they were gonna make the contractors all do that. So that's a big deal, to the point where that cost a lot of money to a lot of people. Because I guarantee you those contractors are gonna eat that cost. Turner's not gonna pay a dime for it. They're gonna eat it. And it's probably language written in their contracts that were awarded to those subcontractors that, you know, this kind of thing is permitted. I guarantee I've read plenty of those kind of contracts. So this is something that goes on every job site. I don't care who says they've never seen it, they're a damn liar. Because on the job I was at Mount Carmel Grove City Hospital, we probably at one time maybe had 30 porta-johns. And the porta-john contractor, hell, they were running out of graffiti remover. And you know, I mean, it gets so bad, we'd have to spray paint it sometimes, but they don't want you to do that. They want to use their own paint. They want to remove it. And it's, and then once it goes, it's taken away, it just goes right back up. On one project, I had a worker who solicited a young woman for sex, would pay her. I've had a worker threaten to stab another worker on a job site and told him to go back to the country he came from. And I mean, and he even admitted to saying that when I confronted him. And I mean, this kind of stuff, cat calls, whistling at women from the building, you know, down at Ohio State. I actually had a front page article of the Ohio University student newspaper that when I was down there working 6 years ago, it was on the top of the fold about catcall whistling. And it wasn't on our project, but it was on someone else's. And when the construction team from OU came to, we had our weekly owners meeting, they brought it to our attention and, you know, just said, hey, you know, if it happens here, you know, we catch somebody, they're out of here and blah, blah, blah. So the contractors have just, over my 40 years of construction, it's tolerated. They you know, put their foot down on the person, of course, but they just, it's just a constant thing. And it causes a lot of dissension, low morale, vandalism on the site, because you got like Hispanics might be working for a certain trade. They might be the drywall contractor, and you might have somebody from another trade that's, you know, racist against them. They'll go and they'll take a hammer to their drywall studs and beat them, you know, knock them off of the base and stuff, damage other people's things. We've had work, some of the minority contractors have like fuel lines cut on their generators and stuff, equipment damaged. Every time something gets stolen, you got the white guys pointing their finger at other trades and so forth and so on, saying, you know, it's got to be them. And then we catch somebody, and here it is, a union electrician or a union plumber that's doing it, you know, when they're actually caught. And then they say, well, this guy was a traveler. He's not from our local. He's from out of state. You know, they'll make up some bullshit excuse like that. And it's just, this has just been rampant for so long, and it needs to be addressed. They need to say and do something about it, especially here recently, as you know, the city of Columbus had that resolution on racism being a public health crisis, and about almost 3,000 companies and nonprofits signed this thing. So put your money where your mouth is and start doing something about this, because there was a lot of construction companies on that list that signed that. And I looked on there, and my former employer signed, two people signed it, the president and the CEO. And I can tell you stories about them too that I probably ought to hold off on right now. I'll hold that for my memoirs.
Well, the one of the things that you've also been outspoken on is the question of police tactics. What reforms are you calling for?
Well, I was calling immediately the tear, any kind of chemical agents not be permitted to be used, period, you know, for riot control because of the health effects from it. And I happen, you know, as part of my job as a safety person, I deal with a lot of material safety data sheets on all the materials that are used on a construction site. So I'm familiar with that. I got that information. And when I started looking into some of the chemicals that are used, I mean, you know, this is stuff that could kill you. And and according to California, some of them contain some of the chemicals are considered carcinogens according to the state of California, which, by the way, they do have very strict laws in terms of carcinogens. So they're very different from just about every state in the United States when it comes to their classification of chemicals and being carcinogens in them. So that was one thing that I still think needs to be done. And the police come back and say, well, what do you want us to do? Put our, you know, hit people and physically harm them? No, I just want better control of the crowds. It's like, why are you not permitting people on the street on a Sunday afternoon when every business downtown is closed? And, you know, it's like, so what? Who cares? There's nobody down here in the first place. So why are you doing this? And it's, you know, some of the things that they did and why they did it made no sense. There's no reason to put your hands on anybody. And then when I was at one protest at City Hall, that idiot Ginther said that he thought it would be better to put parked cars where the meters were. They bagged the meters and then they towed those cars away, and that brought everybody out raising hell with the police for towing those cars. Why did they bag them in the first place? And he said, now this is what Ginther said. He thought the protesters would rather not have cars there so people could see their signs better, because the cars would be blocking their signs that were parked were along the street. So that's why he bagged the meters. And I'm like, what an idiot. I'm just like, I couldn't believe he said that, you know. But he thought he was doing the protesters a favor by bagging the meters. I'm like, yeah, right.
And again, it looks like the police have been targeting a lot of leaders of the movement. And what can we do about that?
Man, I read something, and you probably read it too, about one in particular, and saying that the cops are driving by that person's house and so forth and so on. I mean, my God, it's like you. I'm sure you recall the list that you were probably on, and Bernadine Kent and some others.
Yeah, I'm the guy who sued to produce that list. And they had a big discussion on me because I was an attorney. That was why they left me off. But Kent was on.
Yeah, I don't know. That something's got to be done about that. That's got to be brought out to the public. Public needs to know about that. But I just read that, I think, yesterday. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding. I feel like going over to that person's house and just sitting in a chair and watching for a while. I got time now to do something like that. I'd be happy to do it.
Well, we got a minute left. What would you like to tell our listeners on the other side of the news?
I'm going to really start pushing on this tax abatement thing because I'm getting sick and tired of it. So I'm going to start getting some people together, maybe get a press conference down at City Hall when they start going back into session in September. And if this continues, because it's really hurting people's pocketbooks. And one of the things that you touched on a minute ago about the housing is that this housing that's being built benefits those very corporations that are getting those tax abatements, because those people that are living in the, I guarantee you the majority of those people living in those buildings are people that are working. Okay. They are people working for that 50% of the companies that are getting through this COVID-19 pretty well. It's not the 50% that are not. And that's the one thing that's like you said, we need housing for the people that are making 50%, 30% AMI, as opposed to those making 80%, 100% AMI. Because those people are in fact working, and that's why they're gonna fill up those apartments. And it's to the developer's benefit, and it's to protect their interest.
Well, Joe Motil, couldn't disagree with you on that ending note. Thanks for being on the other side of the news.
Appreciate it, as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
And hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.